This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. So we're going to discuss the Democrats' plan for 2028. They're publishing some things. What are they going to do if they take power? How are they planning on getting power? What kind of candidate are they looking at? Oh, there's some juicy stuff in there. But we don't have time for that right now, and we don't have time for emails. We'll get to those in a while. You know what time it is. It's the start of the second hour on Monday, and that means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every Monday, same thing, at the same time, we pick a hero, we read his citation. Remember, whenever someone earns the Medal of Honor, they get a write-up called a citation. They write up what they did. They vary in length. The pre-World War II ones are like two sentences. They're just garbage. They didn't expand at all. They started doing better ones, World War II and beyond, which is why most of ours are there. Now, we also take email recommendations on top of your love, hate, and death threats. If you have ones you love, maybe someone from your hometown, an uncle, something like that. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, Medal of Honor citation recommendations. We got this one. Jesse, I've listened to so many citations read by you. This 4F soldier embodies America and his love for his country and fellow countrymen. Vito Bertaldo. He single-handedly held off men and tanks in a battle. The story filled my heart with pride in our military, in our nation. Now, let's set the scene just for a second here. This took place in a place called Hattin, France. H-A-T-T-N, Hattin, France. You've never been there. I've never been there. You'll never be there. One of the fascinating things about the war in Europe is how many huge battles took place in what essentially amounted to a tiny village or just outside of a tiny village. Why is that the case? Well, it was rarely about the village itself. It was more about seizing really, really important ground. Now, this was in January of 1945. Remember, always remember, just kind of a World War II 101 thing. By the time 1945 rolls around, Germany, anyone with half a brain in Germany, knows they're going to lose. Now, Hitler was a nutball who didn't know probably quite yet, but anyone with half a brain knew they were going to lose. So what's the idea? What are they still doing? Make the other side feel enough pain that the peace agreement they come to ends up better for you in the end. What is happening specifically here? January 9th, 1945, the Germans gather up some tanks and they are trying to smash through the Allied lines. The Allies, remember, it's cold, it's miserable, you're in some tiny little French village, it's not the glorious, you know, you're not downtown Paris, and you know you have some desperate Germans about to launch an attack. And when I say attack, it's heavy machine guns, it's tanks, it's flamethrowers. It's worth it to keep in mind that young men, this guy was 28 at the time, young men are over there freezing, scared to death, and doing things like this.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
Oh. And Vito was born December 1st in Decatur, Illinois, by the way. He fought with extreme gallantry while guarding two command posts against the assault of powerful infantry and armored forces, which had overrun the battalion's main line of resistance. On the close approach of enemy soldiers, he left the protection of the building he defended and set up his gun in the street, there to remain for almost 12 hours of driving back attacks while in full view of his adversaries and completely exposed to the 88mm machine gun and small arms fire. He moved back inside the command post, strapped his machine gun to a table, and covered the main approach to the building by firing through a window, remaining steadfast even in the face of 88mm fire from tanks only 75 yards away. Golly. One shell blasted him across the room, but he returned to his weapon. When two enemy personnel carriers, led by a tank, moved toward his position, he calmly waited for the troops to dismount, and then, with the tank firing directly at him, leaned out of the window and mowed down the entire group of more than 20 Germans. Sometime later, removal of the command post to another building was ordered. Master Sergeant Bertoldo voluntarily remained behind, covering the withdrawal of his comrades and maintaining his stand all night. In the morning, he carried his machine gun to an adjacent building used as the command post of another battalion and began a day-long defense of that position. He broke up a heavy attack launched by a self-propelled 88mm gun covered by a tank and about 15 infantrymen. Soon afterward, another 88mm weapon moved up to within a few feet of his position and, placing the muzzle of its gun almost inside the building, fired into the room, knocking him down and seriously wounding others. An American bazooka team set the German weapon afire, and Master Sergeant Bertoldo went back to his machine gun, dazed as he was, and killed several of the hostile troops as they attempted to withdraw. It was decided to evacuate the command post under the cover of darkness, but before the plan could be put into operation, the enemy began an intensive assault supported by fire from their tanks and heavy guns. Disregarding the devastating barrage, he remained at his post and hurled white phosphorus grenades into the advancing enemy troops until they broke and retreated. A tank less than 50 yards away fired at his stronghold, destroyed the machine gun, and blew him across the room again, but he once more returned to the bitter fight and, with a rifle, single-handedly covered the withdrawal of his fellow soldiers when the post was finally abandoned. With inspiring bravery and intrepidity, Master Sergeant Bertoldo withstood the attack of vastly superior forces for more than 48 hours without rest or relief, time after time escaping death only by the slightest margin while killing at least 40 hostile soldiers and wounding many more during his grim battle against the enemy hordes. Daggone. And survived to tell the tale. That is quite a tale. Now, let me finish this up by saying this. He was a master sergeant. For those not aware, that's a very, very high rank for an enlisted soldier in the Army. He's 28 years old. He was a seasoned veteran, one of the, quote, old men at 28 years old. Remember that as we read stories about our military heroes and this conflict and that conflict. I don't care which one it is. The Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, all of them. Global War on Terror, all of them. We read stories and we make them, it is instinctive, I do it too, we make them older in our head, more grizzled. That 18-year-old who just graduated high school, that college freshman, If you're my age, I'm 44, balding with gray in my beard. I'll look at those guys and I'll say, look at this kid. That's a kid. Look at that kid. It's instinctive. I don't mean to do it disrespectfully. It's just an old man thing, I guess. Ah, look at the kid. What a good kid. Rooting for that kid. It's, quote, kids who have been fighting our wars for us since time began. Kids. Young men who strap it on and strap it in and go out and take the fight to the enemy. Something to keep in mind. Pretty impressive, right? I find it to be very impressive. All right. Democrats have a plan. They have a plan for how they're going to acquire power, how they're going to win in 2028. And then they have a plan for what to do with it while they get, or after they get power, if God forbid they do get power in 2028. So I have both of these things laid out in front of me. We shall discuss it, and then we'll do some emails whenever we're finally done moving off of this house of horrors, all right? Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. We just did Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're about to talk about the Democrats, their plan to win, then their plans for after their wins. We are going to get to some emails. I'm going to touch on, again, the looting of this country. There's a story out. I hit on it a little bit last week, but this story about Ukraine and Democrats, it's bonkers. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But first, I'm going to get to this one. The headline is this. This is from Axios. Some Democrats' 2028 strategy. A straight white Christian male. Quote, their fear divulged with dismay in group chats, at cocktail parties, and increasingly in public is that parts of the electorate are too biased to support a woman or other diverse candidate for president. Basically, we can't run a woman because the public hates women. We can't run a black person because America's racist. We can't. Okay, so first of all, I think it would be helpful to send a message to Democrats before we discuss Democrats. Democrats, do you understand why the public is hesitant, remains hesitant, and will be hesitant to maybe elect a woman or another black man to be president? It's actually not specific to the sex or to the color of the skin. Here's why. Democrats use these things as a weapon against others. They're not used to unify. They're used as a weapon to stoke grievances, gender grievances and racial grievances. And there is a hesitation with the public that if ever allowed to achieve power again, they'll do the same thing. You see, a bunch of Americans, not me, but a bunch of Americans thought that the election of Barack Obama, that would be this wonderful moment in the country where we'd overcome all kinds of things. And now America's cool enough, the black dude, fine, elect the black dude president. So America did that. But you see, Barack Obama is an America-hating communist who was raised to be an America-hating communist. And we were at a point, people forget this. Young people will never know this, but let me tell you something. If you're young, I don't ever want to use the term racial harmony because that's not something that can ever truly exist on this planet. Real true harmony can only happen in heaven, right? When Jesus comes back, Chris, that's the only time we're ever going to get true racial harmony. But the United States of America pre-Barack Obama was about as close to that as you can possibly get. You know how they're forcing a black actor into every white role today? And it's obviously forced and it's causing resentment. Do you know that there were black actors acting with white people all the time back in pre-Barack Obama? And no one made an issue of it. Nobody even talked about it. It was no big deal. It was just nothing because it was normal. That's how we all grew up. It was normal. It was no big deal. The last time we elected a black man president, we saw racial divide in this country come back in as bad of a way as it was since the 1960s in this country. Barack Obama brought that back. Now, Democrats, they constantly feed on this resentment because they're cultural Marxists. They grab every single, quote, out group and tell them they're oppressed and promise that group revenge. Well, the poll numbers show that white people eventually caught on to this whole thing. And the reason Democrats have lost states like West Virginia is because West Virginia is populated by white people, and white people know the Democrat Party hates them. Which brings us to the Democrat Party's problem. It's very, very difficult to get to the White House without winning Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin. I'm not saying these are all white states, but these states do have a large white population in them. So if you're the Democrat Party and you have dedicated your entire party platform to the hatred of white men are evil, white men are the source of all of our problems, on and on and on and on and on it goes, and then you turn around and ask those same white men for your vote in, let's say, 2028, that can be quite an ask, right? Well, for Democrats, the solution is simple. Now, for a decent person, for someone like you, looking at it logically, what would you do to solve that problem? Well, you would stop hating white men. Let's just include everybody. White men aren't the enemy, but that's you. You're not a communist. If you're a communist, what do you do? What do communists always do?
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
You just lie. It's simple. You're not gonna change your views. Your entire party's coalition now, it's no longer working class, white men, union guys, and things like that. It's just this conga line of angry freaks who are angry about something. That's the entire Democrat coalition. You can't abandon them. They're your everything. Plus foreigners are your everything. You can't abandon them. You're certainly not going to try to sell them on whitey. You've been telling all of them, the foreigners, the LGBTQs, that you've been telling all of them that white men, certainly white Christian men, are the sum of all evil. So you can't sell them on whitey. Well, what do you do? You try to do the same thing they tried to do with Tim Walz. You go looking for a token. You go find the token white guy. You throw a flannel shirt on him. You have him put on a hard hat. And you have him lie. Mr. Normie. Hey, it's just me, normal white guy. And I'm a Democrat telling you it's okay if you're white and want to vote for us. That's the plan. Now, what are they going to do if that plan works? Talk about that in a moment. What's your plan for pain? Do you have a plan to get rid of the pain in your life? Is your plan just kind of hoping? Maybe it'll be gone next month. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you be proactive with your pain? What do you do, though? Grab that pill bottle? Yeah, I don't think your kidneys would appreciate that. Why don't you grab something natural? Something 100% drug-free, Relief Factor. Over a million people have already tried it. The word is out. Go look at the reviews. 100% drug-free. Natural ingredients. It is a supplement. A supplement that will support your body's natural response to inflammation. 3 weeks of it. Just try it for 3 weeks. Take it every day for 3 weeks. 1-800, the number 4, Relief, or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, amazing Monday. We're about to talk about something ugly. Chris, no, it's not him. And then we're about to talk about something ugly. Then we'll do some emails before we come back to this Ukraine story. Then maybe chop away at some other things. So, I need to recap something before we play some audio and read this story. I need to recap something we've discussed before about the Democrat in your life. This applies to you, the Democrat in your life. Let's rewind. Democrats, They tried to frame Trump as a Russian agent. This is all public factual information now, not my opinion. That was false. Then they stole an election. We can argue about that. I believe it, but whatever. They got into power in 2020, right? They got into power in 2020, and they did something with that power that had never been done before in the history of the United States of America. They launched the FBI like a missile against January Sixers, bringing over 1,000 arrests of over 1,000 of them. They sent the Justice Department, Roe versus Wade got overturned, and they dug up some old obscure law, the FACE Act, and went after pro-life pastors, sending the FBI to their door, throwing pro-lifers in prison as fast as they possibly could, just in a hissy fit over Roe versus Wade. Donald Trump, the Republican nominee, the soon-to-be Republican nominee, the White House coordinated, we know this now too, by the way, not a mystery, coordinated with the Fulton County DA in Atlanta to try to throw Donald Trump in prison before he could be the nominee. They also went after Donald Trump in other jurisdictions, of course, Florida, New York. Donald Trump was actually convicted. Donald Trump is a convicted felon because Democrats in wherever, whatever jurisdiction they held power tried to throw the Republican nominee in prison before he could be elected. Now, back to my question for you. If you know a Democrat, if you have a Democrat in your life, I've asked this question many times before. Has the Democrat in your life ever, one time expressed that any of that was wrong? Regret for that. One time. Has the Democrat in your life ever once said, we probably shouldn't arrest our political opponents? That was bad. They haven't, have they? I've been asking this question for probably 2 or 3 years. We get thousands of emails a day. I talk to people all the time. To this day, I have never once spoken to a Democrat or anyone who knows a Democrat who said, that was wrong, we shouldn't have done that. It's not just that elected Democrats don't think they did wrong. The average, everyday liberal Aunt Peggy in your life has no regrets. So, if she doesn't regret it, how does she feel about it? Well, she feels like they didn't go near far enough. You looked on in horror as the communists use the power of government to go after their political opponents. You used to use terms like banana republic and things like that. Totally correct. Your liberal Aunt Peggy looked on in horror because it failed. And she thinks they should have gone further. So, what kind of things might we be in store for if, say, they take the House and the Senate? Well, remember, the Democrats tried to remove the filibuster last time, that thing that says you need 60 votes to make a law, and they would have succeeded if it wasn't for two Democrats, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Kristen Sinema of Arizona. Where are they now? They're no longer in the Senate. J.D. Vance talked about it.
I would bet every dollar that I own, but the next time the Democrats have control of the Senate, they will break the filibuster, pack the Supreme Court, and destroy this country. We have to do it now in order to save the country.
That's J.D. Vance. What do you think they're going to do when they take power? What if they win the White House? What will they do? I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask them.
The people in this administration who broke it.
Credit to Western Lensman for this one.
The people in this administration who broken the law and federal agents who broken the law need to be held accountable. Criminally prosecuted, civilly prosecuted, you know, whatever it is that we can do.
For those that decided that it was, you know, that they would act in their perceived very narrow self-interest and, you know, take a knee to Trump. They're going to be held accountable.
Do you think needs to elevate the debate, but also ensure accountability, legal accountability for anyone who broke the law?
Yeah, it's not about vengeance in that respect. It's not that. It's simply about accountability.
There are so many different corrupt sycophants within the Trump administration, including but not limited to within the Department of Justice. Now, these people don't have immunity. And the reality is the statute of limitations is 5 years, and there will be accountability with the next administration, if not before, when Democrats take back control of the House of Representatives.
One day the Trump presidency will end. The statute of limitations for these crimes, however, will extend beyond that date. And when the day comes that Donald Trump leaves the White House and his successor moves in, there'll be accountability.
We will bring oversight, accountability. We will subpoena the Department of Justice, but also private actors who have done these drug deals with the administration, college campuses, entertainment companies, law firms. And so accountability is coming.
Here's California Governor Gavin Newsom.
So to be clear, the next president, whether it's President Newsom or someone else you think, needs to elevate the debate, but also ensure accountability, legal accountability for anyone who broke the law.
Yeah, it's behest. Yeah, I think you have to knit that back, and you have to do both, because you by definition are doing both. It's not weaponizing grievance. It's not pursuing retribution in the spirit that defines Trump and Trumpism. It's not about vengeance in that respect. It's not that. It's simply about accountability, that the chips fall where they may.
Headline, Democrats hit list, subpoena plans if they win the House. Oh, it's not just politicians, ICE agents, corporations, moguls, top executives, law firms, donors to the White House ballroom. I'm just reading from the story. Profit enablers, they say. This is a little reminder that what Democrats did under the Joe Biden communist administration was the appetizer. The appetizer. It was the Red Lobster cheese sticks before the Cajun shrimp Alfredo got to your table. It was the appetizer because they did all that, and the only lesson they learned from it was they didn't do enough. They didn't go far enough. I bring this up because I think a lot of people are losing sight of what it means if the communists come back to power in this country. The communists are going to do worse next time, and they're going to do it as fast as they possibly can do it. Last time was the beginning. Last time was the Cheddar Bay biscuits. We haven't come close to getting to the main course. And I'll finish up my point on the why in just a moment. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It's free. Don't worry. So why will Democrats do worse? Why are they already making plans to arrest not just Trump, not just ICE agents, their corporations, executives, donors? Why?
The people in this administration who've broken the law. And federal agents who've broken the law need to be held accountable.
Because the average Democrat demands it. And the average Democrat gets involved in elections and votes in his primary. I know I harp on it a lot. That's because it's freaking true. The average Democrat gets involved, votes in primaries, and the average Democrat has demands. And if you don't meet the demands of the average Democrat will march out to the polls and vote you out of office. I'll remind you again, Kristen Sinema, Joe Manchin are no longer in the United States Senate. Why is AOC in the United States House of Representatives? Well, she took down one of the most powerful Democrats in the House of Representatives. If you are a powerful Democrat, if you are J.B. Pritzker or Gavin Newsom or Dome or any of these people, and maybe the next time you take power, God forbid, maybe you actually do have some hesitation. Maybe we shouldn't throw all the ICE agents in jail. Maybe we shouldn't start arresting lawyers and donors. Maybe that's too far. Maybe we should. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice because the average everyday Democrat is an insane demon who demands these things. That's the ugly truth. That's the ugly truth of it. They demand these things. And most of these people, they don't even know why they demand what they demand. Just nasty, revenge-driven malcontents. You hear this woman at the No Kings protest?
Well, okay.
This woman votes in her primaries.
Well, okay, so waking up every day as a black woman is such a political act. So that in itself is exhausting, but, like, the fight never stops. So I can't wait until is behind us and we don't have to worry about people dying in ICE custody. We don't have to worry about losing our rights as women, as black people, as any marginalized group. So gotta represent.
Yeah. And how are those rights being taken away right now?
Literally just like I have teachers as friends.
Yeah.
And they are struggling to try to educate our kids in classrooms.
Yeah.
So because of what this administration is doing, black women are pretty much being murdered in medical professions when we go to seek medical care, and that research is being defunded.
Make fun of that moron for not knowing anything all you want. That's a destroyer. And when she goes out and votes Democrat, she has demands. And at the top of that list, not number two, not number three, not number 10, at the top of that list, that animal wants you hurt. Here's a mother-daughter combo. Make fun of them all you want. They don't know anything. Oh, that's true. They're stupid. No doubt. They have demands.
We're going to start with Mia. Mia, why are you out here?
To protest and make a better democracy.
And your sign, this is a together sign, I guess. To explain your together sign, Mia.
So it's supposed to be about, like, we get to make a statement and they just silence us and they don't get to do that. We have the right.
You have the right to do that. Mom, Melissa, just what does it mean for you to have your little one out here today? And how important is it for you?
Well, I have three girls, and so it is so important to build a better future for them. We are here to be the light, not to squash it out, and so it means everything to have my daughter with me.
They have demands. They want to be the light by throwing you in a cage. Let's remember the stakes if these people come back to power. Also, remember the families who lose somebody. Gold Star families, fallen first responder families, they give up a huge piece of their lives for us when they lose somebody. They just do. That son that you never get to have Christmas with again, that husband, wife, gone. Who comes alongside these families to care for them? Tunnel to Towers does. Tunnel to Towers has, and Tunnel to Towers does. $11 a month is all they've ever asked for. Tunnel to Towers pays off the mortgage for these families. On top of everything else, the financial burden that comes. Imagine having that kind of relief. Does it bring them back? Of course not. They don't pretend like it does. But that's pretty freaking special. Tunnel to Towers does this with $11 a month from you. T2T.org. T2T.org. Jesse, no accountability, no prosecutions, no indictments. Compare this to when Democrats were in control. Stone, Bannon, Manafort, Navarro, Cohen, so on and so forth. But they keep having hearing after hearing. Well, I have a bit of good news for you. We're actually going to get to a bit of this Ukraine story here in just a few minutes, and I will get to more emails next month, but I have a bit of good news for you. I am told that this John Brennan thing, remember former CIA director, committed communist John Brennan, this John Brennan thing might be going somewhere. Letitia James, remember Letitia James, mortgage fraud, and then the case got tossed, and we all yelled and screamed, no one's ever going to prison, no one's ever going to prison. I have been told that that is probably going somewhere. Are these things enough? No, they are not enough. I'm not going to pretend they are. But if we want to avoid, if we want to have any chance at avoiding the future I just laid out, where the communists send their Gestapo after all of us to throw us in prison, the only way we can do that is to visit pain on the ones who did it before. We have to make future Democrats afraid to use the law against their political opponents because we cannot appeal to their morality. They have none whatsoever. All communists understand is fear and pain. If we can get some of these people behind bars, even a hefty fine, I know that's not enough, that might help us avoid some of the uglier aspects of our future. Now, this story out of Ukraine we touched on last week is uglier than the headline I gave it. We'll touch on that, do some emails and some other things. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.